Welcome to The Rachel Peterson Show, the place where we dissect social media strategies entrepreneurs are using to build their brand, go viral, and make a massive impact. Let's dive on in.
Welcome back to another episode of The Rachel Peterson Show. This week, you guys, I have the honor of interviewing the incredibly talented author, Carrie Oberbrunner. He's an incredible author, not only of several nonfiction books, but most recently of a fiction book that pushed him past his comfort zone. I'm really excited for you guys to hear this interview because Carrie is somebody who continually inspires me to not only write books, but also to take on challenges that seem outside of our comfort zone. And you'll see exactly why in this interview. So let's dive on into this interview with Carrie Oberbrunner. So Carrie, I'm so glad to have you here today. I think that we're going to have a blast talking about so many different topics. There's one that I am so excited to ask you about, but we'll jump into it in just a second. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Rachel. I call 2017 the year of unhackability, so I am ready.
That sounds that I can't even wait. Now we have to jump into that. So you said that 2017 is the year of unhackability. And I have had the great fortune of having you send me your latest book, which is The Elixir Project, which is a book that kind of talks a little bit about this whole idea of life being very hackable and making sure that you have safeguards in place. Let's dive right on in. Let's talk a little bit about being unhackable.
Absolutely. So a lot of your amazing audience who listen to your fantastic podcast, they are probably used to hacking in a positive sense. Like, here's a life hack, or here's a hack, you know, how to shortcut a process. And hacks can be good when referenced like that. Or people understand hacking as like, oh, wow, my phone or my computer got hacked, and that's a real bummer. But where I actually go in the book is that humans are being hacked. And of course, the book's a sci-fi young adult thriller, and it's fun, and it's like a mix between Divergent, Hunger Games, Inception, and The Matrix, which is like, that's what I've been hearing at least from people. So it's a very fun, entertaining, you know, sci-fi thriller. But I wrote the book as a metaphor for where we are headed today. And that is that people, oh my gosh, they are getting absolutely hacked. And I'll give you an example, Rachel. You have brilliant clients. I have brilliant clients. How many times have we heard our clients say to us, hey, Carrie, hey, Rachel, I have a really good idea, or I have a dream, or I want to go be an entrepreneur. I want to make this happen. And then what happens? They go from ideation to frustration, or ideation to stagnation. Very few people go from ideation to implementation. And the reason why is because they get hacked. And getting hacked, right? Getting hacked, let's just unpack the literal definition. Hacking is when someone or something gains unauthorized access to a system or a computer. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Right? So somebody takes over your phone and they can do whatever they want with it. Well, when I went into my research, and this last 2 years have been spent really researching this passion project of Elixir Project, the fiction and the fact part. But what I realized, Rachel, is that humans, think back to fifth grade or whatever, biology, we are made up of systems, right? Yes. Circulatory system, respiratory, reproductive, all that stuff. So we are made up of systems, and all the research shows that we are, our brains are wired like supercomputers. So people are made up of systems and computers. Therefore, we can absolutely get hacked. And getting hacked, people use these words all the time, like, oh, I went to go do this project, but I got distracted. Or, you know, I went to go do this, but I got sidelined, or I sabotaged myself. Mm-hmm. That is simply getting hacked.
Absolutely. So what it sounds to me like is that we almost accidentally self-sabotage in a way, and we don't even realize it.
Yes. Oh, my. People are probably right now holding one of the biggest ways that they get hacked. And look, I'm all for technology. I absolutely love it. But all the research is showing that unless we have a plan and a path to navigate the noise of life, we will get sabotaged. We will get distracted. So, for instance, according to DScout, which is a research firm, and they did literal research, people get this. I was shocked. We, on average, touch our phones, right? 2,600 times a day.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that crazy?
For some people listening, that's more than the number of steps you take in a day. That is so many times. Well, yeah. We're all guilty of it. You know, when we're sitting in front of our computer, sometimes you're like, I only took 1,000 steps today. Oh, my gosh. But I touched my phone 2,600 times. That is unreal.
And that counts as a touch, a click, a swipe, a tap, you name it. And then they found out that heavy users are twice that. So here's what's crazy, Rachel. Okay, we all hear that. We're all like, oh, whatever, bummer. But the other thing is that this is 5 hours. Okay, so 5 hours a day we are using web or apps or this type of thing, which isn't that crazy. But here's the crazy thing. We use these in short bursts. That's what they found. The average touch or whatever, the average burst period is 30 seconds or less. So check it out, Rachel. This isn't like, oh, I'm just going to go sit and touch my phone for 5 hours and play games, da 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 da. This means that throughout the day, what we are doing is distracted work and not what Cal Newport calls deep work.
Interesting.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. So it's almost like we're interrupting, and I'm going to use your word, we're hacking our day into these small little compartments where we're not able to truly tap into our full potential.
Oh, yeah. There's no way you and I can get into what's called flow, which I talk about in the book. And flow is a state of operation and awareness. It's where we are completely absorbed. And you've probably gotten like this before, so have I, where you're so entrenched that, oh my gosh, you look back and 5 hours took 5 minutes. Why? Because you were in flow. And researchers are saying that when you are in flow, this is a study by McKinsey, these are really smart people that did a 10-year study, and they found out that the most productive CEOs are in flow. Well, you are 500% more productive when you're in flow. And the thing is that you can't be in flow when you keep getting hacked.
Wow.
You just can't. So you never tap in. And I know what some people are thinking. They're like, what is this guy talking about? But there are brain waves. So we have brain waves, right? We have alpha brain waves. We have beta. We have gamma. And we have theta and this type of thing. So your brain waves will never go into the deep productive levels when you are living your day as someone who's being hacked. And I know what we're all saying. We're like, well, I multitask. Here's what's crazy, Rachel. If we think multitasking is our weapon to not be hacked, when we multitask, we decrease our productivity by 40%. It's worse than being stoned.
All right. That's pretty crazy. And I don't know about you, but I intentionally do not get stoned. I don't ever get stoned.
You wouldn't
go into a work day completely stoned because you know it's not going to get any work done.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that, which is crazy. And people are like, well, you know, I mow the lawn and listen to an audiobook. Yes, that's two non-cognitive things that you can do at once. But there's no way that you do two cognitive things at the same time. It's not multitasking. It's what's called switch tasking. And all the research shows that when you switch task, you leave attention residue. Mm. So think about this. You're present with your kids, and then boom, you're doing this, and then boom, 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 boom. What happens is you are actually 40% less productive, but then your attention leaves residue on those tasks. And therefore, most people, you feel this. At the end of the day, you use words like, I'm drained, I'm burnt out. Yes. I'm going through the motions. Those are all energy metaphors. So even your language is saying, like, I don't have any power left. And we feel powerlessness. We got hacked.
That is unreal. Okay, so one thing I want to real fast bring attention to, because this project is a passion project of yours. It's completely different than anything you've written in the past.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so let's just hold on the hackability just for a moment. And I want to figure out, what is it that made you so passionate about writing something that's completely different from your track record of your books that you've written in the past?
Yeah. So I'm a 6-time traditionally published author, which doesn't mean a whole bunch, because I'm bald and I have a girl's name. Okay. So that keeps me humble. All right. It's all good.
I love that.
But when I did all my other books, I got, you know, an advance. I had editors assigned to me. I had people assigned to me to do the covers. I mean, it was easy, you know, and it started out with Christian writing, then it moved into business writing. It was all nonfiction. And then I woke up on October 8th, 2014, in the middle of the night, and I just had this dream. Like, it wasn't downloaded from the heavens or anything like that, but it was a crazy dream. And I woke up with the phrase Elixir Project. I grabbed my smartphone and I talked out 12 lines of text. And I knew it was going to be a fiction book, and I knew it was going to be about hacktivism and people getting hacked. And I said, forget it. There's no way I'm going to do this idea. This is crazy. Mm. And my colleagues told me that too. They're like, you're an idiot. Why would you ever do young adult fiction, dystopian type stuff? You're a nut. And then people, you know, then the haters come and they're like, what makes you think you can do that? You don't even know how character development. And everything that I teach from the book about other people today with their ideas who are listening right now, I had to go through that myself.
Wow.
I had to go through the haters, the doubt. And I tried to put the thing down. In fact, I did put it down for a while. And I'm like, that's stupid. But what kept coming back, Rachel, is I knew that if I could write an entertaining, engaging, thrilling book that was a metaphor to what I saw, because I had some awesome clients all around the world. You know, we have an author program where I teach, you know, over 300 authors how to write and publish and market their books and build businesses around it. But what I saw is a lot of them getting hacked. They had the best ideas, right? The best ideas, the best plans, the best intentions, and then they would go to implement them. And a lot of them were getting hacked. And I said, you know what? I'm not alone. My authors aren't alone. This is a big thing. Our world is going through some massive changes. And unless we are equipped to deal with getting hacked, we will just spin out and our legacies and our lives will be massively affected. So that's why I wrote a book in this way, to be digested by the masses, but then the people who would really get it would be the ones that would want to go through a process called the Elixir Project Experience, where they would learn three things, Rachel: flawless idea anatomy,
okay,
deliberate magnetic focus, and optimal human performance. And I reduce those into three words: idea, focus, and flow.
Wow, that is incredibly powerful. And I haven't had the chance to read your book yet. Do you dive into those topics in the book, or is that, yes, go
no,
for
I,
it.
I absolutely do.
Yes.
But when I submitted the manuscript to my editor, that is fantastic. I mean, I went after the superstars. You were probably too young for the A team, but I wasn't. So
I don't know what the A team is.
See, I knew it. I told you were too young.
I know.
I know. So anyways, the A team or other shows like it, you know, they kind of pull superstars from all different sectors of society. But anyway. So Julie's a fantastic editor. I submitted that to her. It was 85,000 words. And she said, you got to cut down to 69,000 because you got too TED Talk-ish. You got too nonfiction-y. You got too like pontificating. And I was like, dang, she's right. So I had to cut down almost a fourth of the book so that I could make it just like crazy, fun, movie-ish type of thing. But I definitely talk about these topics. And Idea, focus, and flow are what's called the three verdicts in the book. And Sienna, who's the main character, she's a young female. So believe it or not, I'm a girl in the book, which is, it's funny. My guy friends who I work out with are like, what the heck, dude? The book is about a group of college students who unknowingly are caught up in this world of hacktivism, where their world is being attacked by a group called Swarm, and Swarm just goes and creates mass chaos and carnage throughout the world. And people are reading it and they're like, dang, this sounds a lot like today. And it's meant to be. Right. The dark web is something true.
Yes.
And there is a black market and people are literally being sold on the black market. And so I had to go in through all kinds of research to make this believable. But in the book, they are told that there's 12 of them who essentially are unhackable, and they have no idea why, and they need to go through these tests. And from these tests, the future society, so you think, it's a conspiracy, but so you think, is learning how to become unhackable so that they can fight off Swarm. But it's just crazy twists, lots of growth by the main character in it, and it's a wild ride.
It definitely sounds like a serious wild ride. One of my questions for you, and yes, this does talk a little bit. Hold on, let me restart that question. Nope. Thanks, awesome podcast editor.
All so good.
One of the things that's really, really cool about this book, The Elixir Project, going live, is you did something that most people, I think, kind of dream of. And you had one of the largest, if not the largest, live book launches globally. Is that correct?
It was crazy. We call it the largest ever live stream book release party. We had, just some numbers, we had 187 different venues in 150 plus, 150 plus cities in 15 countries in 6 continents. So it was pretty wild. It was December 6th, my 40th birthday. I wanted to have that birthday and the book launch the same day. Lots of research. But I'll tell you what, Rachel, everything to do that idea and everything to do the idea where we launched my other book with Hollywood celebrities at Shawshank, and then the idea to start a Global Author Academy elite brand.
Yes.
Every idea that I've ever had is this unhackability formula, which I share and teach. So my passion, Rachel, is to help your listeners, whoever they are, right? And whatever their idea is, social media,
yes,
entrepreneurs, business,
yes,
ministry, whatever. They have an idea inside them. And just like that idea hit me upside the head to do this worldwide global live stream, they have crazier ideas than me, and they're meant to do them. That's why they were created. And I think that that's one thing that we need to do is implement our ideas. I think it's our divine mandate.
Yeah, I think it's something we have to do. We're doing the world a disservice if we're not actually making those big, crazy, scary, wonderful, terrifying ideas come to life. And that is definitely a part of the process. It can be so terrifying to step out and take on something completely different from what you're used to. And I feel like you writing this book is a prime example of that. You know, you went from writing books that were based on, they were nonfiction, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nonfiction. And there were a lot of, you know, motivational parts of them. You know, mm-hmm. What was the name of the first book you wrote? It was the Shawshank.
Okay, so that was called Day Job to Dream Job, but it was yes, borrowing the Shawshank metaphor. Yep.
Yes. So you've used a lot of real life metaphors, but mm-hmm. this is the first time that you've actually jumped into the fiction realm.
Oh yeah.
So you've already explained a little bit of how terrifying that process was.
Oh my. there were days, Rachel, where I just thought, what maybe they are right. Maybe this is the dumbest thing and maybe I shouldn't do this. And I mean, you name it. I had close people, I'm talking like close people, that said, like, just if you hit publish, you will be embarrassing yourself. I'm sorry, but that's what they said. And you hear that and you're like, you got to do it anyway. Like, I'm telling the person listening to Rachel right now, like, she knows what she's talking about. Rachel has done this many times over. I've read some of your stuff. I know what's going on. You modeled this. You model this. The same stuff that we're talking about. Look, what's the alternative? The alternative is go play fantasy football league and that be the highlight of your day, or go watch Netflix and binge, and that's like your goal in life. And I call that soul suicide. That's where your dreams and your desires and your passions come from your soul. And if you're going to kill that so that you don't feel, you've basically committed soul suicide.
Absolutely. And I think that that's an important topic for everyone who's listening, you know, to really, really think about. What is it that you're called to do? It's not going to get less terrifying. In fact, as you start to kind of go after these big dreams, I would even argue that as you build a platform, it's more terrifying because in a way, there's something to lose. Just like your friend said, you're going to embarrass yourself when you hit publish because people know you and people are following your work.
Yeah.
It only gets more terrifying. You just kind of get a little more used to the risk.
I love what you're saying because we all have heard personal growth people that you heard them 20 years ago and they're saying the same thing. Yeah. They haven't changed. Like, their message is the same thing. Then there's people like, you've heard of U2, right? I know you haven't heard of A-Team. But
I've
heard
of U2.
All right. I know I'm old, but you know, then you got Bono, who's like not just playing the old ones. You know, like they're still making music or whoever. So what I love about this, you nailed it. It's that you have to keep taking risks. That is life.
Absolutely. So with writing this book and jumping out and, you know, really stepping out in faith and saying, this is something I feel I'm called to write to help people with, were the risks so far worth it? What has your experience been publishing The Elixir Project?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I think you and I emailed each other yesterday, and I think by watching you and I think you watching me, you can see that I hustle. So what did I do in the last 24 hours? I sent out 100 plus personal messages to influencers. This was the third step of a three-tiered marketing strategy. The first step was to send to highlight influencers that I know that this message would be in harmony with them and that this message would be something that would benefit their listeners or readers.
Yes.
Identified over 100 people, paid out of pocket, you know, didn't have my publisher pay because I am the publisher with this one. Mm-hmm. You know, mailed these hardcover books out, envelope, you know, the whole deal, personal letter inside. Then I created 100 personal videos. Did you got one?
I am so fortunate to have gotten one. So thank you so much for that, Carrie.
Yeah. So out of 100 people, you know, of the whole world, Rachel was one of them, seriously. So you need to listen to her. She is a guru. She knows her stuff. You're a smart person to be. In fact, go review her podcast right now. I'm telling you, look, when you're a content creator, the best thing you can do is to go review and endorse and encourage and share what they're doing. Rachel doesn't get paid to do these podcasts, just like I don't get paid to do my podcast. We do this out of love to serve you guys. And the best thing you can do is review her. So there you go, Rachel. You didn't ask me to do that. I said it because I'm a podcaster too.
I appreciate that.
But look, out of these 100, do you think I got any rejections? What do you think, Rachel?
I think every single person was amazed that you took the time to personalize that message.
Well, thank you. But the answer is I did get some rejections.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I know it comes with the territory. Look, You're right. It was crazy. It was crazy what I did. I mean, I don't know anyone who's done that. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just saying, like, if you want success, you have to hustle. Okay. I mean, it's just true. So anyway, yeah. Oh, I had someone, you know, I had people not even give me the time of day back, a few. I had some people say, this isn't for me. And I had some people say, like, absolutely, what can I do to help you? You've helped me, or I'm in it, or this type of thing. So I never let the outward results sway my internal drive.
Yes.
That's tweetable. That's tweetable.
So if you're listening to this, I actually want you to jump onto Twitter. And Carrie, what is your Twitter handle?
Just my straight up bald girl's name, Carrie Oberbrenner.
I want you to actually tweet that. Can you say it one more time? So word for word.
Oh my gosh. Never let the external response sway your internal drive. Something like that.
Perfect. So maybe not word for word, but you can find a way of tweeting that. And you can tweet me as well at the Mrs. Peterson. And yeah, we want to see those tweets coming on out. But that is such a powerful statement. How has that been a part of your process in releasing this book or in books past?
Oh, look, I had a friend call me out at lunch a week ago, and he's like, how's Elixir Project going? I'm like, oh, it's pretty good. He's like, well, what's going on for 2017? I said, you know, 2017, I'm probably going to speak a little bit more now that Elixir Project's done. I'll probably do a little bit more coaching because I shut all that down, you know, and kind of just created the online business the last 2 years. And he looked at me, he's like, you're scared, aren't you? And I'm like, what? And he said, you're pulling back from Elixir Project Marketing, aren't you? And I was like, dang. Oh. I was like, you know what? He called me out. And in a way, I don't think consciously I said that, but in a way, subconsciously, I really think that that's what I was doing. Like, okay, cool. The baby's birthed. The book's done. Okay, cool. What's next? And what I teach my own clients is you better go out and market that book for the next 2 years, not in a salesy, pitchy way, but in a way that serves and edifies and adds value to people. So what did I do, Rachel? Boom. I'm on it. Yes. And I'm doing key podcast interviews with people. I'm, you know, partnering with people, and the message is getting out. So truly, 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 unhackability needs to go into the education, the arts, the entertainment, athletics, business, faith. Every sector of society is getting hacked, and we have an answer. We have a solution, and it's called Elixir Project Experience. And it literally is a 30-day process where people enter day one with just an idea and a past of getting hacked. And then they go through this 30-day program. And at the other end, they go from ideation to implementation. And for the rest of their lives, they now have a model.
That is so powerful. And, you know, I have to confess something. I actually went through the initial quiz for, you know, testing whether or not you're unhackable. You are never going to believe what I'm going to share with you. So I started the quiz and I got a text and I closed the window and I got hacked.
Oh,
in the middle of the quiz.
I love it.
So
I'm
going to have to retake that quiz and take a look at the Elixir Project Experience, correct?
Yes. Wow. That, I love the confession, first of all. That's a sign of a good leader, someone who's willing to be vulnerable and open. So thanks for sharing that. I will now use that forever as an example.
Perfect. I can't wait to hear it from a stage.
There you go.
Yes.
That's good.
So, Carrie, where can people find a little bit more about everything with the Elixir Project on your end?
Yeah. So Elixir Project Experience. Elixir Project Book. ElixirProjectBook.com. We got a trailer, we got discussion guides, we got the unhackability assessment for free. But I'll tell you what, Rachel, I know you do show notes, and we've created something really special for your audience. It's absolutely free, and it is an unhackability training, which for people who are like, wow, you know, this nails it. I wake up and then my day is one big hack. I mean, I've had people say that. Wake up and one, you know, every single day is one big hack. Well, if that's you, like, let's let's fix that. Let's help you. And so anyway, we have a free training, and I think it'll be in your show notes or something.
It absolutely will be. As always, the show notes are available at rachelpeterson.com. And I'm really, really excited for everybody to take the assessment and learn a little bit more about what it is to be unhackable in your life.
Definitely. And what about you, Rachel? I mean, what if 2017 you were unhackable? What would you be doing?
Oh, I'd be unstoppable. I will say, a lot of my audience probably relates to this, but being so prevalent on social media, constantly being on social media, the distractions almost never stop. And so I've gotten to a point where I don't go on social media for fun anymore because all of the work is there too. So if I go on social media, I'm gone down a rabbit trail. I'm not coming back for a couple hours. So if I were to be unhackable, oh my goodness, I can't even imagine how powerful 2017 would be, honestly.
Well, good. Well, let's make that happen. And, you know, I think it can. Last thing I'll say, Rachel, on my end is, look, you know, I have clients who have faith, who don't have faith and all this stuff, whatever. But there's this little quote, which I think is fantastic. And I believe, okay, check it out. Have you ever heard the word abracadabra, right? You said that as a kid or something?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So even the fact that we as kids said the word abracadabra, when you understand what that word means, just Google it. It means I create as I speak.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy? So as a kid, you had this whispering of being unhackable, because that's what unhackable means. It means you ideate and you implement. You have a thought and then you do. You dream, you do. As a kid, that made sense. You walked around saying abracadabra. But as adults, we're like, well, you know, life happens. But, you know, I can't do that. So
yes. And if only we were to implement that every single day, can you imagine how unstoppable most people would be? But that isn't, you know, we're all living in a big hack for the majority of us. So
that's right. That's right. And this is the new secret weapon that the super achievers will know how to do this. And those who don't will be, you know, in the wayside.
Absolutely. Well, Carrie, thank you so, so much for joining me on today's episode of The Rachel Peterson Show. It has been a blast to catch up with you.
Awesome. Well, hey, Rachel, keep doing brilliant stuff yourself, and we'll be in touch.
Sounds great. That was a great interview with Carrie, don't you think? Well, you know what? I actually want to hear exactly what you think. So if you could do me a favor, head on over to iTunes and leave me a review. Tell me exactly what you learned in this episode, what you liked, what you didn't like, and what you want to see more of. As always, the show notes are available at therachelpeterson.com/podcast. And my action challenge to you is the same as always. Take action, be social, and get prepared to make a massive impact.